God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your miracles. We thank you that you are with us in the good times, the bad times. And that you promised you would never leave us or forsake us. My prayer is that we would command our hearts to take courage. Father, like David spoke to his heart, may we speak to our hearts today and take courage in where we're at, knowing that our faith lies in you, our trust lies in you. The world may be shaking, but you can't be shaken. And I may be breaking, but I ain't broken yet. Your love, God, is fearless. And we just ask that you would help us to be courageous. In the name of your Son, we pray these things. Amen and amen. God bless you. Be seated. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who have recently come to be part of Living Water family. My name's Jeff. Let me introduce myself. My name is Jeff, and I'm honored and privileged to be a part of a team of people that get to lead an amazing group of people. And today is going to be an interesting day. Mom, this morning asked me, was I okay? And I said, man, I'm super excited. I've been chomping at the bits to be back. And at the same time, I know that this particular worship experience will be different than ones that will come. It very well may be incredibly uncomfortable for some of us. I'm not going to pretend like I might get through all of this without crying. Those of you that have been here for a while know I cry at the littlest, dumbest things. And then when you feel the overwhelming presence of love and grace and mercy of our King, that's all I have to give back sometimes. But I'm not a downer today because I'm super excited. My prayer today is that you would hear my heart. I had a preacher acquaintance of mine ask me why I felt the need to explain why I was off. They were confused at why I would take a Sunday and explain where I've been. I thought that was odd. Not judging him, I just thought that was odd. I thought that it is the least I can do, because for many of you, you were here one Sunday, and I preached, and I was leading worship, and the next Sunday, I was gone, and for 10 weeks, I've been gone. But you remained faithful. And you continued to come because you aren't following a personality. You aren't following the token unconventional preacher. You are following a vision. A vision that next week I can't wait to unpack for you on our anniversary Sunday. 17 years God has been present. So that is why I feel the need to unpack it. That's one reason. The other reason is I can't be the only guy in this room or the only person in this room who has not at some point felt like they've hit the wall. And you might be there right now. Man, if Candace has ever chosen a song that fits what I'm getting ready to say, that was it. Many of you have been waiting a long time. Some of you have done like I did and ignored every sign and everything that you should have been listening to, including your spouse, including your family, including those around you that love you and want nothing but the best for you. You've ignored that and you keep plowing on because we don't know how to wait. I don't know how to wait. I'm a horrible waiter. Yeah, thank you. And so today, I believe that you deserve an explanation. You can't be family, you can't be community, and not be transparent. Mom cautioned me, I'm sorry, Miss Kim cautioned me, I'll get it when I get home. 17 years, I've said mom from the stage. Miss Kim cautioned me. No, I ain't gonna say she encouraged me. She said, "You do know that, like, they don't know, need to know, like, every single little detail, right?" And I'm like, "I know, baby." And she said that because she knows that we'd be here all day. And I don't have the best proven track record in terms of being quick about it. So what I am going to attempt to do is encapsulate the last 10 weeks, and it's going to be very raw. And I want to get through that because I feel I owe you that for your faithfulness and your support and prayers and belief in the vision God has given me for this body. But then I want to speak to those who aren't listening, who've hit the wall. And you get up and you continue and you do the same thing you had planned that you were going to do, and you can do it. At some point, as I've learned over the last 10 weeks, you just gotta stop, or God will stop you. And I was foolish. I was foolish. I've entitled this message, "Raise It So God Can Raise It." And let's look at some definitions. I would ask you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Intentionally, I do not have the verses on the screen because honestly, I'm not sure how this is going to flow as I listen to the Lord. However, if you'll take your worship guides out and flip it over, I would ask you to notice your notes, click your pen, and fill in your blanks, because if God says something, I believe it's worthy of noting. And when God begins to speak to you, and I'm still rambling, stop listening to me immediately. Listen to God and write down what He tells you. But if by chance something that I say resonates in you, or that God says through me that resonates with you, don't let it get away. If you don't hear anything else after that, I'm okay with that because you can go to the podcast and hear whatever joke I'll tell later. But hold on to that which God tells you. While you're turning to Jeremiah chapter 1, let's look at the definitions of these two words. First of all, let's look at raise, R-A-Z-E. The definition of raise, you see it in your notes, it means to tear down, to break completely, to level to the ground. Can we read that in concert together? Let's get this definition down inside of us. R-A-Z-E, raise it. Say it with me aloud. To tear down, to break completely, to level to the ground. But then there's the other raise. We love this one. This one, not so much. R-A-I-S-E. It means to move to a higher position. Somebody say amen. It means to elevate, to set right, to cause to stand. Let's say that together with passion, because this is our goal. I want to be at a different place next week, a better place next week than I am this week. I want to be higher at the end of the month than I am now in terms of my relationship with Jesus. In terms of my generosity to those outside the walls of the church, in terms of my willingness to share what God is doing in my life to those outside and inside the walls of Living Water. I want to be lifted to a new level. And I know you do too, because you all had something else you could do today, but you chose to be here. Raise. Say it with me. Allowed to move to a higher position, to elevate, to set right, to cause to stand. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. If you got it, say amen. If you're just going to read it off the worship guide, say thanks, Jeff. No worries, my pleasure. And by the way, before we go any farther, I'm honored to have Miss Kim and I's son, Bubby, here with us in our service today. Our worship leader, he and I started Living Water together, along with a couple of families, and we had no idea what we were doing. And here's the irony. Yeah. So while he is getting all of the West Coast saved, I'm trying to handle the Midwest. Thanks for being here, Bobby. He'd fly all the way from California to hear me speak. You ain't got no excuse not to be here next week. Jeremiah chapter 1, read with me. Your Bible says the words of Jeremiah. Son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth. In the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Then God begins to speak to Jeremiah. And this is his account. Verse 4, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, now Jeremiah is speaking back to God. I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. And the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. Verse 10 is my emphasis this morning. I want you to notice in verse 10, it had to be raised before God could raise it. Verse 10 says, "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow." So far, that doesn't sound fun, does it? But look what it says. "And then to build and to plant." Church, sometimes we've got to allow God the room and the space in our life to raise us, R-A-Z-E, before He can ever replant us and give us a fresh vision. If I learned nothing in the last 2 months, I learned this. And this was my go-to passage every day, specifically verse 10. When the times tend to not be getting better, but sometimes feeling like it was getting worse, I would go back to verse 10 and I would walk around the house, or me and Rock would walk around the backyard, and I would say aloud, "I have put my words in your mouth. I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, but for a purpose, church, for a purpose, and that is to build and to plant." I want you to know this morning that I have not come through anything. God has brought me through. And He gets all the glory and the honor and the praise. And when I needed reminded of why God put me on this earth, and when I needed reminded of such a time as this, He would take me back to this verse. And He would remind me that everything has a purpose. I was in the waiting room, as Candace so perfectly described. And I ain't gonna lie to you, God moved a little slower than I liked. But God knows me, and He knows if you give me an inch, I'll take a mile. What I didn't know is that I was getting ready to go through a raising. I didn't know that. And it wasn't that I didn't see it, church. It was just the fact that I loved what I do so much, and I love what I do so much. I love who God is making me to become so much. I love sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ so much. I love seeing lives change so much. I love being able to worship and praise and edify and exalt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love being able to share my story, which is different than your story. I can share my unique story with people inside and outside the walls of this. I loved it so much that here's where I made my mistake. My mistake was, and I own it, and I confess it. My mistake was the characteristic and the voice of God that was the shepherd side of God, the leader, the one that would guide. That voice got dimmer and dimmer to me. And the voice that got louder and louder, because I was still hearing from God. But the one I focused on was the voice from Elohim, the strongest word used for God in all of the scriptures. The truth-speaking God. It's whenever that God would go in and like wipe out a nation, the word used is Elohim. That voice I was able to hear clearly. And that voice I was able to operate in. But the voice that I mistakenly was ignoring was the voice of the one that was telling me, I'm trying to get you to greener pastures and still waters because you need to rest. So I said, I've heard from God. And I would go another week and another week. And I ain't gonna lie, loved every second of it. Loved every second of it. Nothing about what I'm gonna say today is a complaint. But know this, he was faithful and he fortified me. He brought me through. He carried me for years when I could not stand on my own. And in a few minutes, when we turn a corner in this message, and I'm going to speak directly to you, I want you to ask yourself, which characteristic of God are you leaning on, relying on, and listening to? Because he's trying to keep all of us from hitting the wall. He's trying to keep all of us out of the ditch. Can I get an amen? That is why he put guardrails in our life. And I preached 6 weeks on that very subject of the things that he has placed in our life, our spouses, friends, both Christians and non-believers that are in our life that keep us from going off the side of the cliff. And I'll never forget at the dinner at the lunch table on Sunday afternoon when Ryan spoke up and said, I don't want the guardrails, I want the rumble strips. And I'm like, why didn't you say that like 3 weeks ago? Not when I ended the... I want the rumble strips. And even though it's not necessary, let me reiterate again. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to have the time off. And thank you for praying for me, and thank you for loving me and my family. And I mean it. So fast forward to a few years ago, Jeff Burke went to kind of a dark place. Again, if you're a guest, we're pretty transparent here. Our three A's are acceptance, authenticity. That is what drives us. And I can't expect you to be authentic if I won't be. Again, you don't need to know every detail, but I think we can't know how to pray for each other if we aren't authentic with each other. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Yeah. I'm glad I go to a church and am a part of a community that believes that. I went to a dark place. To read and to pray was a struggle for me. Not trying to indict you, not trying to pull you into my world in that regard, but have you ever felt that way where you try to read and as you're reading, you're like, okay, there's 15 minutes, I'll never get back. Or like I would do, I'd read the same verse like 10 times because I'd get halfway through it and my head would be 14 other places. Come on now. Or I would try to pray and in my time of prayer and as I'm crying out to God, out of nowhere, a thought would enter my head that I could not fight against. You're like, oh, hold on. So God wasn't able. No, you again, I didn't allow him. You're like, God don't have to ask your permission, but God is not going to come in and bust doors down. So what I had done was I had allowed myself to get to a very dark place. And it was a struggle. To focus was almost impossible. I even had some memory loss. Good sleep eluded me. Maybe I'm speaking right at you. Well, welcome to Dr. Burke's place. And church, I say in humility that I finally broke and I hit a wall and it nearly knocked me down. And I say nearly because there were a couple key factors when I hit that wall that kept me standing. One was obviously Miss Kim. The other was obviously the realization and me believing in faith, although I felt like I was in the waiting room, that Jesus had never left or forsaken me. And then there were other things that I saw God doing in my life and in my family's life that maybe I'll talk about in a minute. Maybe I won't. I don't know. God will let me know. But I hit the wall, but it didn't knock me all the way down. And for that, I'm forever grateful and I'm forever thankful. But maybe you have hit the wall and it has knocked you all the way down. It doesn't make me more spiritual than you. I want to just equip you today to know how to, A, avoid it, or if you're almost ready to hit it, what you can do to find your footing again. If you're still with me, say amen. Before we get into the details of my journey, I want us to look at four Bible heroes everybody in this room knows about. And what I had to do over the last 10 weeks was I specifically and intentionally focused on these four men in the scriptures. And what I did was, and this was me, you do whatever God tells you to do. What I did was I replaced their name with my name. And as I would read the accounts of these individuals, and as every day I would attack a new portion of scripture that told about the mighty exploits of these men, I would always end it with the fact that they were also human. And the fact, although God was using them greatly, they got in their own way. But they are Bible heroes. And my prayer is that you will do the same as we look at these four guys very quickly, that you will put your name in the place of these guys. First of all, Moses. You see on your worship guide, Moses. Man, if there was ever a guy that had the opportunity of a lifetime and did 99 things dead on right, and then every now and again, he would absolutely screw this thing up. Are you with me? No, I mean like, are you with me? No, because I replaced my name with that guy. I'm asking you if it applies to do the same. Moses had just delivered, hear this, Moses had just delivered an entire nation out from under the clutches of the most powerful man in the world at the time. Stuttering Moses delivered the children of Israel out of bondage, leading them into the promise of God. And then we read in Numbers chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, your Bible says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. He had an internal battle going on. In all the goodness that was happening around him, he went to a dark place. And out of his not knowing what to do, and out of his frustration, he cried out to God, if this is how you're going to treat me, go ahead and kill me. But if I have found favor in your eyes, do not let me face my own ruin. Consider Elijah. Man, this guy to me, if there was ever a bad dude in the scriptures, it's Elijah. I mean, he was the king of all smack talk. biblically speaking. He had the confidence to do exactly what God would tell him to do, when God would tell him to do it. He would speak boldly to the kings. He would make these outlandish prophetic statements. And for the sake of time, I won't read the whole passage. I think in your notes I have parenthetically 1 Kings 18, 21 through something. I don't even know what I've got it through, maybe 40. But you know the story. It's when he prayed and he calls fire down. You remember that story? Let me hit the highlights of that just so that I can set a stage for you mentally. Elijah addresses all of these prophets of Baal, and they meet up on the mountain, and they're getting ready to see whose God is the strongest. And Elijah comes out of the chute and says, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. In other words, put your money where your mouth is. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe God, you're going to believe Baal. Elijah said, I'm the only prophet of the Lord who is left. And you have, Baal has 450 prophets. He said, and I'm ready to go toe-to-toe with all 450 of you. And he was able to say that because he knew that God was with him. Now just feel the weight of that. He was able to make that kind of declaration because he knew what God had done recently in his life, and he knew the power and presence of God. And so he starts trash talking. He said, bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal choose whichever one they want, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood of their altar without putting any fire under the wood, and I'll prepare another young bull, lay it on the wood on the Lord's altar with no fire under it, then pray to your God, and then I'm going to pray to the Lord, and you know the story. They pray and they pray and they pray, the prophets of Baal do. And Elijah turned to the prophets of Baal and says, you go first. There's many of you. There's only one of me. And your Bible says this, they, that is the prophets of Baal, began to dance around the altar. They began to shout. And they said, oh, Baal, hear us! Exclamation point. And then your Bible inserts this. But there was no reply of any kind. Of course not. And then your Bible says, and at noontime, Elijah began to mock them. Now you know why I replaced my name with his. English is my second language. Sarcasm is my first. And so Elijah began to mock them. And he scoffed. He said, you're going to have to shout louder than that to catch the attention of your God. Perhaps he is talking to someone else. Or maybe he's out sitting on the toilet. That's in your Bible. You might not know that's in your Bible. That's in your Bible. You're not. Does anybody else find that hilarious? Maybe your God had to relieve himself. Smart aleck Elijah. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's asleep, and maybe he needs to be awakened. And so they shouted louder and louder and louder and louder. No voice, no answer. Then Elijah called to the people, come over here. They crowded around him, took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the Lord's altar. He dug a trench about 3 feet wide around the altar, piled wood on the altar, cut the young bull into pieces, laid the pieces on the wood, and then he said, fill 4 barrels with water. Pour the water over the carcass and the wood. They'd done it. He said, do it again. Now do it once more. And they did. And the water ran off the altar, filled the trench. At the customary time of offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, prove today that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all that is at your command. And he said, Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you are God and that you have brought them back to you. And the next two words in the passage are amazing. Then suddenly. Put yourself in that story. Then suddenly, it wasn't like it just kind of crept up. Then suddenly, I love this, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even evaporated all the water in the ditch. When the people saw it, they fell to their faces and they groaned and they shouted, Jehovah is God, Jehovah is God. Hallelujah. Jehovah is still God today. Hallelujah. Then Elijah told him to grab the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one of them escape. And then he commanded, seize them all. And Elijah took them to the brook and killed them. Okay, apparently that was funny. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. That's one brave guy right there. That is one guy that clearly the Holy Spirit was resting upon. This is pre-cross. The Holy Spirit was on him at the time. The power of God was on him at the time. And then he let people's voice, specifically a woman's voice by the name of Jezebel, get in his head. To the degree that he went to a dark place and he hit a wall. Because the story doesn't end there, the story goes on. 1 Kings 19:3-4 said, Elijah was afraid. Pause. You got to be kidding me. You just called out 450 prophets of Baal. Made it virtually impossible for your God to come through. And he came through. Like, forget about it. And they even recognized Jehovah is God. And yet, this is still in your Bible. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush. He sat down under it. Now hear this next phrase, because this next phrase is when he hits the wall. And he prayed that he might die. Elijah. He prayed that he might die. And he said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Can we consider two more? First of all, Jonah. Quickly. Jonah heard from the Lord. He got a call from God to go and preach repentance to his mortal enemies. And instead of obeying, he literally went the opposite direction of where God told him to go. I mean, geographically, he literally went the opposite direction of where God told him to go. And he went there by way of whale's belly and a nice spa treatment made up of whale vomit. Sorry, edit that. But he eventually goes to Nineveh and he speaks the word of the Lord and the entire city repented and revival breaks out in the land. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the story doesn't end there. And the reason the story doesn't end there is because there was a problem. The problem was that Jonah didn't want revival to break out in the land. He eventually obeyed what God wanted him to do, exactly what God had told him to do. But because there was a conflict internally inside of him about what God was saying and about how he was feeling, he got depressed. He hit a wall. And he said this, Now, Lord, take away my life. It is better for me to die than to live. Have I got you low enough yet? One more for you New Testament folks. Paul. Before he was renamed Paul, of course, he was Saul. Saul, the killer of Christians. Saul, the murderer of Christ's followers. The one who would go door to door and ask, do you believe in the way? Do you believe in this Jesus that's going around trying to take credit from God? Do you believe that? And if you said yes, they would drag you out of your home, either incarcerate you or kill you. If they incarcerated you, they only incarcerated you long enough to schedule a time to kill you. Because there were so many, because the church had grown so much, that they had to schedule time. Historically speaking, and extra biblical writings bear this out, they had to schedule times to execute Christians. Because read the book of Acts. Hundreds, thousands were being added to the church on a daily basis. So Saul, the Christian killer, has an encounter with Jesus on the way to do his job, and it changed him forever, and he not only became the author of most of the New Testament, but he's a powerful, powerful, spirit-filled man of God that could literally preach the house down. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But his lifestyle and his message didn't come without consequence and hardships. And I won't take the time to go through all of them. Most of you know them. Let's just say his life wasn't easy. Most of the letters that you read and the epistles that you read that Paul wrote, he wrote from prison. And not just like our prisons, like the prisons that was under the prisons. Shackled to a guard on one side and one on the other. And yet, he still... Can you imagine being one of the guards? Making life, trying to make life miserable for this man. And he's like, man, I'm not asking for much. Can I have a parchment and something to write with? Sure, because you're going to die anyway, so yeah, might as well do your last will and testament. But he would write these epistles, man, encouraging others while he's in prison. Fast forward in his life to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul writes these words. It was almost as if he didn't have the vocabulary to explain just how difficult it was to do what God was telling him to do. Not in a complaining kind of way. Please don't mishear me. But in a way that he knew his weaknesses. And he knew what the call on his life demanded. And he writes this in verse 8 of chapter 1 in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the trouble we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure." Hear this next part. "Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." We despaired of life itself. I took that phrase and I looked at it in every translation, and I'm not a Greek scholar. I butcher English. I'm certainly not going to try Greek. But as I researched that phrase out, it literally translates into what the other people that we've addressed, he didn't want to live. Him and his team, him and those who were following him, remember, he told his people, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And yet, a guy that would have the courage to make that kind of audacious statement confesses, "Hey, I'm writing you this letter to let you know I don't have the words to tell you that I hit the wall, man. But not just me. I'm surrounded by people that are hitting the wall." And these four guys are my story. I am these guys. And it is with embarrassment and in humility I say that I even found myself wanted to be taken from this life. And for some of you, that might disappoint you. I'm not trying to disappoint you, and I'm not trying to get sympathy, and I'm not trying to make this a preacher illustration. I'm being honest. There were times when I knew this life. I felt like I knew this life would be better if I wasn't there. And that's hard for me to choke out. And you're like, "You don't have to tell us that. Don't tell us that, because we're supposed to follow you." No, 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 you deserve to know. You deserve to know. You say, Jeff, why did you feel that way? I'm going to give you two reasons. One, because I knew that I was hitting the wall, and I knew I was in a dark place, and I did not want to disappoint my beautiful wife, who has stood with me and followed me. I don't deserve it. She has believed in me from day one. She put up with me as I was gone so much on the road playing music. She didn't like it all the time, but she supported me. And I knew that if I got knocked all the way down, I would disappoint my wife and family, my beautiful children and grandchildren. And I'm like, I can't let that happen. This is how the enemy messes with your head. And secondly, it was because of you. You didn't do anything wrong. But I felt ill-equipped and incapable of leading you. And I said, you know what? They need somebody in here that's got their head screwed on straight. And their act together. And because they're so loyal and they love us so much and they believe in the vision so much, ain't nobody voting me out because nobody voted me in. I mean, I don't know how any other way to word that. If you do, if that's what you decide to do, I'll honor it. But hear me out. I get better as the story progresses. Some of you are like, yeah, we're having a meeting later. But I didn't want to disappoint you. So I had these thoughts that would enter my head because I was at a dark place and I was these four guys. It would be just better off. God, look, I can't carry the burden. I'm not equipped. I can't get thoughts together. I'm at a place right now where I cannot not only be what I need to be for my family and the weight of that, I can't even be also what my church needs from me. Not to mention, forget the inside the walls of the church. My heart breaks for those outside. Listen, I exist more for those outside the walls of the church than I do for those inside the walls of the church. And I don't say that to put you down in any way. It's we need to get the gospel of Jesus out to the people. Amen. And that's why we will do anything short of sin to see people come to Christ, even if it means doing stuff that no one else is doing. That's why, even while I was off and you're complaining about the Santa thing, don't talk to me about the Santa thing. Santa's coming. And when he gets here, you don't have to come if you don't want to come. But listen, my prayer is that, and don't try to subtly backhand me. I'm back. Don't try to subtly backhand me with your statements about Santa. My prayer is that we meet this community, get them in, because there's folks around us that can't afford to take their kid to get their picture made with Santa, and it ain't my job to convince them whether or not Santa's legit or not. It's my job to hopefully get into their life enough that on the 24th of December, when we're having a worship experience, the apartments unload, and this place is full, and the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth, and the King of Kings is lifted up, and people come to know Jesus. We're having cookies with Santa. Get over it. I know. I need to. You don't want to come out of the chute like that. So after many conversations with Miss Kim, I'm going to leave Santa alone for a minute. We can get so religious. We can get so upside down on things that we forget why we're doing what we're doing. Oh, it's so funny. So with many conversations with Miss Kim, many tears, and many hours of her holding me longer than any woman should have to hold a man. And I cried when there was no more tears. I did what she told me to do, and I went to my doctor. And my doctor diagnosed me with this. Now, all of you know that I got the arthritis thing, and I'm an old man, so I got all that stuff. That ain't what I'm talking about. The little paper that you get, you know, when you check out at the doctor's office, and even though he might not say words, he's writing them down or putting them in his computer, and they print that thing out, and they hand it to you as you're leaving. Well, I didn't look at it. Because me and Kim were there, and we heard what he said. And one day I was cleaning out my car. I'm vacuuming out my car, and I seen this paper stuck down in the seat beside me. And it had my diagnosis. And here's what it said. I'm quoting now from his paper. Diagnosis: chronic mental, emotional, and physical fatigue. And depression. And not the I'm having a bad hair day depression. The God, I don't know what I'm doing. And I can't put a sentence together depression. I can't love like I need to love depression. I can't serve like I need to serve depression. And when I read that, although again, I knew what he had said, when I read it, it became so real. And so I had to let God do some digging, some ripping, some tearing down. I had to allow him to raise me, to break me. And there were things in my life that I had never dealt with. You know why I didn't deal with them? I was chicken. I was a coward. That, and because I was so self-righteous that I thought I didn't have time to deal with what I had to deal with because I had so much good to do for Jesus. And so I would be going about my day, and God would bring a raising. And the wall was right there. And I would call Kim, and I'm like, babe, I'm there again. I don't know how to get out. Help me. And she did every time, and she would talk to me. And I would come home, or she would come where I was, and she would hold me and remind me of who I was, remind me of what God created me to be. And I was able to sort things out again. But God had to deal with some things in my life that I never dealt with. And FYI, I'm still dealing with them. I stand before you today in the power of Jesus Christ. Now, before I get to you, This is the part where rubber hits the road for me. God had to bring to my mind and remind me that I was sexually molested as a boy.
by a family member I trusted. And I put that away. Because God made me brand new. And He did. But I never dealt with it. So, file that away. Put a pin in that. I then learned that my hero in my life had an affair. And I subsequently, as time went on, as I got older and was able to understand things, I would, surprisingly enough, catch my hero in inappropriate situations. File that away. Put a pin in that. Don't deal with it. Don't talk about it. Rise above it. That was my attitude. I had to deal with the reality that my mama tried to commit suicide not once but twice. And you're like, we don't need to know this. No, it's therapeutic for me. Mama always woke me up every morning. And she would make me breakfast, pack my lunch, hold my lunch bag out, just like on TV, man. It was the Cleavers. And I'd go out the door. And she would remind me, know who you are. Don't forget you're a Burke. She'd kiss me on my head, out the door. Well, one morning, she didn't wake me up. And so I go in, and I'm like, Mom, you overslept. Mom. Not once, but twice. My parents, they were great parents. I'm not trying to shed a bad light on my parents, but like most couples, you don't have the manual on how to be husband and wife. Oh, you gonna leave me hanging up here by myself? Like most couples, you don't have a manual on how to be man and wife. So what you do is you just do what you know to do. And what Dad knew to do was he never yelled, he just talked loud. That's what he would say to us every time. I'm like, Dad, quit yelling. I'm not yelling, I'm talking loud. That became the family joke. I mean, till the day he passed. I'm talking about you, Daddy. Till the day he passed, he still laughed about it. I know, I was yelling, I know. They fought every day. I'd become dangerously angry. I had an uncontrollable anger issue. I had to deal with the reality. This is all part of the raising, church. I had to deal with the reality that growing up, I was a fighter. I loved to fight. I loved being hit, and I loved hitting people. God has forgiven me. I ask you to do the same. Because you're probably thinking, dude, at your size, you needed to pick another way to vent. Yeah, I wish I'd have asked your advice on that sooner. I would look for ways to have a fight and always found it. Push it down. Why? Never ask why. Never ask for help. Never just keep pushing it down. And God was bringing it all up. I had to deal with the reality that my mama died in spite of all my prayers and the prayers of people all over this country. And 3 minutes after my mama died, my daddy asked me to do her funeral. And I've never been more honored in my life. But I've never been more angry in my life. And my doctor even brought up the fact that, he said, Jeff, you haven't even mourned the death of your mom. I said, you're probably right, Doc. I know mom's in a better place. I'm going to see her someday, and I can't wait. But I hadn't dealt with it. A little over 3 months after that, my daddy died. And all my brothers and sisters elected me to do his funeral. Never been more honored and never been more angry. I'm like, serious, guys? Didn't know how to deal with it. Never dealt with it. Shortly after that, years after that, just crazy family dynamics that broke me and those involved. And I had in my head, as the patriarch, and not a very good one at times, and I don't say that for sympathy, realistically, because, again, you don't get a manual. Going through those times, I felt like I had to carry it. Because I had to be strong for the rest of the family. So I could not show any weakness. I could not show the side of me that hurt. I had to be the one. That was a lie from the devil. That was a lie from the enemy. And I say to bring glory to the God, to my God, that my son being here is a miracle. And I'm not saying that to embarrass him or pull you into my family crap, but the reality is God can fix whatever is broken in your life. So you push it all down and you try to be strong. You try to be everybody's hero. You understand what I'm talking about, right? Are you with me? Say amen. And I had to deal with the reality that I had to get a full-time job so that I could, along with a full-time job of pastoring, and I'm not mad about that, but I had to, so Miss Kim could have insurance, and that just added to the to this and to the pressure, and you get the idea. And I hit a wall. And what made matters worse for me during those years was that excellence is my standard and commitment is my creed. And when that's the fact of your life, you won't take time to deal with you because you're too busy worrying about excellence and your commitment. Not understanding, like I do now, excellence will happen when we're all at our best. So God began to tear me down. And I'm so glad he did. Because then he began to raise me up. And I need you to hear again. None of these are complaints. None of these are excuses. These are just some things that God had to raise so he could raise me back up. I don't say things for shock value, and I'm not trying to make a good preacher story. I share these things because you're my community, and I need you to know how to pray for me. And with my wife, my kids, and my church standing beside me, and with my grandkids, bringing the joy of the Lord into my life. I'm able to stand here and say, let the devil know not today. Not today. Nope. Not today. Man, you were close. Not today. Not today, not today, not today. So what's God showing me all in this? A lot. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Daniel. Let me talk to you for a minute. Give me 10 minutes, we're going home. I want to share three things. We'll pick it up in the book of Daniel. I want to talk to you today. As the weeks progress, you'll hear more and more about how God is raising me up. You'll hear more and more. We're done talking about yesterday now. We're going to talk about tomorrow. Come on, somebody. But you deserved to know why I was where I was. Next week, we're going to talk about where we're going. Could not be more excited. But I've learned anything in the time I've been a Christ follower, it has been that God doesn't bring you through things so that you can keep it to yourself and make that your trophy. He brought you through things so that you can have empathy and sympathy and be someone else's Miss Kim. You can be someone else's stronghold when they don't know what to do because they hit the wall. And I would be a fool to assume that in a room this size with this many people that some of you aren't either there or you can sense you're on your way. Because I've admitted, I seen where I was going. I just refused to acknowledge it. I was wrong. So let's look at Daniel. I got three quick things to say about this, and then I'll let God say to you what he needs to say. When you have hit the wall and everything is closing in on you, number one, denial doesn't help, it hurts. I said denial doesn't help, it hurts. Fill in your blanks, write it down, put a star by it. I hurt my marriage, I hurt myself, I hurt my family, hurt my church, hurt me because of my denial. When you know you're hitting the wall, and you feel like things are collapsing, denial doesn't help, it hurts. I'm so glad I submitted to Miss Kim and listened to her counsel and getting some help. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Daniel had rolled up on a situation he wasn't expecting. Daniel had something dropped in his lap that he wasn't prepared for. Here he is encountering this situation. He knew there was something terribly wrong, and he knew that what was getting ready to happen was going to affect many lives. He knew that. He knew that it wasn't going to be pretty, but he didn't deny it. He addressed it, and then he put some verbs in his life. Did you hear me? He put some verbs in his life. Listen, you can't ignore. You got to do some things. I said a long time ago, and it still resonates in my heart, and it was from the Lord. And I'm not saying that. I always say God said, because then you can't argue with me about it. But God said to me, you can't just pray your way out of a situation you behaved your way into. You've got to change your behavior. Pray, but then you've got. So Daniel put some verbs in his life. Daniel put some verbs around his vocabulary and around his, even the way he would process data. He needed some verbs. He knew he couldn't deny what was going on. He was clearly overwhelmed, and out of his league. He was, listen, I say, Jeff, how, why do you say that? He was going up against the commander of the king of the army. The king's army, the person that the king had placed over all of the military system in that day, Daniel, had to confront him. He was going to put to death the wise men of Babylon, so Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Here's what I found out about me. I knew I was denying it. And when I wouldn't get help, and I would, whatever excuses I would make, I'll never forget Kim telling me, you know, this is a bigger problem than just your physical state. And I was waiting on her to talk to me about my sodas, and you know, my diet, because I deserve all of those lectures. Don't mishear me. But that's what I was expecting. That's not what she said. She said, "What this reveals is you don't trust God." Oh no, you didn't. Oh yes, she did. And I probably responded with, yeah. But inside I'm like, I clearly trust God. No, I didn't. I'm being honest. I didn't. But I do. Because here I am. David didn't deny the fact that he was overwhelmed. And when he heard the wise men of Babylon were going to be put to death, he didn't rationalize it. He didn't turn his head. He didn't pretend it was all going to be better when the sun came up tomorrow. Nope, that's not what happened. He addressed it. Some of us in the room today, I'm asking you, what are you denying? What are you denying? It don't have to be anything that I mentioned. But here's what I know about God. Here's what I know about the Holy Spirit of the living God. He will speak directly to you about the things that directly affect you. And he don't have to go through me to do it. So I said my story, a small snapshot of my story, but you got yours. What is it that has got you so close to the wall that you know you're about to dead on hit it? And you're not addressing it. Number two, when you hit the wall and everything is closing in on you, you have to rely on others. Come on, somebody. I'll go on record saying I'm horrible at this. And I mean that. I hope I'm better now at it than I was. I heard the anger in Rob's voice. Because he's been telling me, dude, I see it in you. You've got to take a vacation. You've got to unwind. You've got to detach. And I'm like, dude, I'm fine. Back it down. Dial it back a notch. I'm good. I wasn't good. He knew I wasn't good. In his sense of urgency, instead of relying on him and relying on Chansey, who was telling me, dude, you need a break. Instead of relying on those who love me, instead of relying on those of you in the room that were trying to tell me the right thing to do, I wasn't relying on you. I was relying on me. And what God had to show me is that I was broken. So I'm relying on something that's already broken. So he taught me and is still teaching me how to rely on others. I knew I couldn't do this alone. I've mentioned some folks that I've had to lean on, but I knew I couldn't trust how I was feeling. I needed someone that would speak life into me, someone that would speak truth into me. Are you following me? Someone that would, in the spirit of love, teach me, show me, reveal to me the things that they're seeing in my life. As we consider Daniel, I want you to think about it. Daniel is one of those spiritually strong people. That he's our go-to strong guy in the Bible. Go think about it for a second. You're going to the lion's den if you do this. Okay. And he gets thrown in the lion's den, and you know the story. I love that story. That's a great phonograph story. You tell Daniel not to pray. He's like, I hear you. He goes to his room, opens the window, prays. 3 times a day. Spiritually strong. You tell Daniel to bow down. He hears you, but he doesn't even flinch. And he certainly doesn't bow. But when trouble was knocking at the door of Daniel, he couldn't easily ignore the fact that he was getting overwhelmed with it. So what he did is he made a choice to rely on others. Daniel chapter 2, verse 17. Then, what's the then? Then, after he gets the news that the wise men of Babylon are getting ready to get the heads cut off. So he buys some time by speaking wisdom and tactfully into the life of the commander of the army. And the very next thing he does is this. Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends. Aww. Explained the matter to his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, they have the other names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But he went to a few people that he trusted, that he knew had his best interest at heart. I want you to hear this. You can't do this by yourself. And if I would have said this 3 months ago, I would have said it and I would have been lying. Because I wasn't doing it. But I'm telling you now that you've got to understand that you can't do this on your own. There is a reason that God instituted the church. Do you know that God didn't institute the church just so that we can come and hear about Jesus again? I mean, I'm not going to be more saved today than I was yesterday just because we heard about Jesus. But we need each other. There are people outside the walls of this church that you need to rely on. I'm just going to go on. You got to rely on others. Daniel is our example. He went and he talked to his friends. Why did he do that? He knew he needed support. He knew he couldn't face this alone. He needed advice. He if nothing else, he needed a sounding board. Can I get an amen? Daniel didn't care to admit that he wasn't sure what to do in the matter. Daniel wasn't afraid to admit that this was bigger than he was. So he goes and he talks to his friends. Let me ask you, those of you who have been in denial, are you embarrassed? Is that why you won't rely on others? Is there a facade that we're trying to put on so that we appear much stronger and much more spiritual than we really are? That's what I did. How's that working for you? And is it wearing you down yet? Number 3, and I close. When you hit the wall and everything is closing in on you, denial doesn't help, it hurts, you got to rely on others. And number 3, the solution begins with admitting and addressing what is wrong with me. God broke me. God humbled me. He began to heal me. He began to raise me. And in Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, I want you to get this. Your Bible says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and He changes seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and I praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me
what we ask of you, you have made known to us the dream of the king. God gave Daniel a greater view of God, and God gave Daniel a greater view of himself. And what he had to do is he knew he had to start with him. He knew that. He knew that it had to start with him recognizing who God was, like Isaiah getting into the presence of God, and Isaiah getting a full acknowledgement of who he was. Amen? Amen. Daniel had to do the same thing, and when he did it, look what happens. After Daniel came through his difficult season, through the revival happened. Verse 46. Then, why is the then there? After all of that happened, after Daniel still was able to give praise, after he thwarted what was going to happen and all of those people getting killed, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." That was the dream that he had had. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position. Raised. Placed him in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Wow. See, this started with the commander of the army getting ready to kill all the wise men in Babylon. Do you know who that would have included? Daniel. So he didn't deny it. He leaned on some friends. He gave God praise anyway. He knew that the answer had to start with him, recognizing who he was, what God had called him to be, what God had designed him to become, recognizing who God is and that God never changes. And that brought about revival. But look at the rest of the passage. The rest of the passage says this, verse 49. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while David himself remained at the royal court. You see, Jeff, I think I missed your point there. Here's the point. The point is, what he was going through wasn't even about him. Because he handled it right, those around him got promoted. David wasn't in this. David wasn't making right decisions just so that he could get recognized and get raised for his own glory. Because he made right decisions, he didn't deny it. He got help. He realized who he was and who God was and acknowledged it. Yes, he was given the promotion, but the promotion that he got, he gave away. Because it wasn't about him, it was about everybody else. Daniel was able to make this about others and not himself. And my prayer today is that you, A, pray for me, because this is not about me. Today I've shared more about me just because you deserve to hear it. But Living Water doesn't exist for me. And it doesn't exist for you. But you've got to know where you are and who you are in Jesus. And if you're about to hit the wall, please, for the love of God, don't deny it. Own it. Call it what it is. I can say that experientially now. Just call it, man. Just call it. We're here. Rely on it. Something everybody in this room has is trust issues. I don't care what you say, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you do. Somewhere, there's a trust issue in your life. Be it with the church, be it at your job, your home, whatever, there's a trust issue somewhere. I'm asking you to take a risk. I'm asking you to take a risk. Everything that Daniel had to deal with,
everything that Daniel had to work through and allow God to raise wasn't about him. It raised everyone around him. For me, he healed my family. All glory to God. For me, although it may not seem like it, he's healing my mind. For me, he's healing my emotions. For me, he's helping me to think more clearly. My time with God the last few weeks have been nothing short of miraculous. And I go on record today that I believe he's going to heal my body. I believe it. I declare it. The MRIs are what they are. But there's a God of miracles. We need his supernatural move in our life. And I'm just going to call it what it is going to be. And I know he's going to heal me. So yeah, I'm back and it may look a little different as we move forward. But I need to ask you how this is for you. Because, see, we got to park this bus for a second, and we got to do a little housekeeping. I want to end with this key thought. This key thought is the period on the end of yesterday and what I've been through and why I've been away. But for you, for some of you, I want it to be a comma. It's the period for me, or maybe it's the dot, dot, dot for me. But for some of you, I want it to be the time where you deal with it, where you recognize it and deal with it. And here's our thought. The pain, look at it, it's behind me. Only God can use your pain for your progress. Only God can use your pain for your progress. Now, normally, I'll put a thought at the beginning of a message and we'll unpack it as we go. But this is the end. My question to you, what are you denying? I'm not accusing you. Are you denying anything? Are you still trying to battle this out on your own? Are you still pushing it down? All the things you ain't let God raise. And how's your view of yourself in light of your view of God? Because Kim was right. I didn't trust God like I thought I did. And I'm just wanting you to not leave the same way you came. Would you bow your heads with me? Man, I don't know where this finds you. Maybe you're here today just, man, encouraging me. And I'll say again, it's so good to be back. I'm so thankful to be here. I love my church. I would be lying if I said this was the easiest message I've ever done. But before I left the house, Miss Kim said, every time you feel your emotions start to come up, stop, ask God to control them, give them to him, and then take another step. And God, I give you praise and honor and glory that you have allowed me to do something very difficult today. I give you all glory. You have allowed me to communicate what you've given me without being a blubbering fool. Thank you, God. Those of you in this room today that would say, Jeff, the things you listed, they ain't on my list. sorry about your list, but it ain't my list. But I know I'm headed for the wall. I know it. But there ain't a thing I can do about it. I can't make the changes that are the reason I'm about to hit the wall. For those of you that resonated with, I should give Kim the mic because I've used her words so many times during the last hour, but I'll just say what she said. You ain't trusting God. See, because it ain't about the things that are or are not in your control. It is about who is in control. And who is in control is God. If we stop denying, open our hands, and just allow Him to move and direct and guide. And that's what I am relearning how to do. If you're here, you're like, Jeff, I got my list. I got my thing. And I know I'm headed for the wall. And today is the day that I'm done denying it. I'm not wanting to put anyone on the spot. You know I don't work that way. But there has to be an act of courage. There has to be a verb that's put in place, which means there must be an action. So if you're here and you would say, Jeff, I've denied long enough. I'm calling my enemy out. I'm facing it. And I'm going to ask God to deal with it so that I can deal with it. So He can raise it, so that I can be raised up. If that's you, stand to your feet. Just stand up wherever you're at. You don't got to leave your seat. I just want you to stand right there and there. Just quietly and calmly in the back, right there in the front. I've denied it. I'm done denying it. I'm done. I'm not going to prolong it. Anybody else? I'm done denying it. Stay standing, please, if you're standing. Thank you. Some things in my life, I got to deal with it. God's going to bring it up. I can't keep ignoring it. 5 seconds. Anybody else? Let me talk to you. Maybe it's those who are still standing, or maybe this now is the next demographic. You've tried. You've recognized it. You haven't denied it, but you've tried your best to battle this on your own. And today, you're willing to say, I know now I cannot do this alone. I need the help of first and foremost, God the Father, to radically invade my life. But I need the help of others. And I am going to trust and make myself vulnerable enough to be honest and open, like Daniel did his three friends. If you're here and you would say, Jeff, I ain't denying it, but I'm done fighting this alone. I'm ready to let someone in my life. Stand to your feet right now. There. Who else? Stand up. Come on. Thank you, dear. That took courage. Who else? I'm done. I'm done doing it by myself. I'm done. It's got me nowhere. Who else? 5 seconds. Finally, who remains in this room that would say, I have been distracted by so many things. I've been distracted by me trying to keep me on the right track. I've been distracted by this on the left and that on the right, and my finances and my marriage situation and my job. I've just been distracted and distracted and distracted that I have honestly, and to some degree, lost sight of who I am and who God has created me to become. And I've even lost sight of who God is. And today I want to recalibrate. You would say, Jeff, I want to recalibrate. I want God on his throne. I want him on the throne of my life. And I want him to reveal to me who he created me to be. Because I need a new vision and a new revelation of who God is and who he is to me. If that's you, stand up all over this house. We're going to pray and we're going to go home. There, who else? And there, who else? God bless you, son. I'm proud of you. There, in the back, and there. God bless you. Who else? I just need a new revelation of who God is. And I need a mirror in front of me. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. And there in the back. I just need to see why am I on this planet? Why? I got to understand that when I'm about to hit the wall, I got to understand it starts with me. So I got to get before God and put God in his right place. And I'll see a correct reflection of my place. Who else? I need a revelation fresh and anew of who God is. And I need him to speak to me about who I am. Anyone else? I'm going to ask the rest of you in this room to stand with those who are already standing. Let's pray together. Let's honor the Lord by standing. If you're able, physically able to stand, I would ask you to do so. If not, by all means, that's okay. Now, what you do with this data when you leave, I don't need to know. If you want to share it, that's awesome. But I pray that something has been said here today that empowers you to be able to face that which you've battled with for so long. And maybe once and for all, get on the road to healing. Whatever that looks like for you. Please know, Living Water Dayton is here to support you. We'll meet you where you are. We're not going to run ahead of you and just drag you along behind us until you get spiritually caught up. We're not going to do that. We're going to meet you right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are in the waiting. I thank you, God, that you have graciously allowed me to stand back on this stage and address these people. Thank you, Jesus. Father, but now I stand in the gap for my friends. And God, as I continue to heal, and as you continue to do a work in me and still continue to bring things up, and I'm a work in progress, I pray, God, that somehow those who have denied for so long will once and for all put that to rest. We'll call it what it is. For those of us that need to reach out, we will not be shamed. We will not be embarrassed. We will reach out and rely on someone else, a trusted brother and sister. But Father, I believe the starting point in our pain being a part of our progress is a new revelation of who you are. Lord Jesus, I ask, fill us with your Spirit. God, may you fall afresh on this body. May your Spirit not just rest on us, oh, but God, fill us until it overflows. May signs and wonders follow. May a fresh revelation of who you are, what you've done, and what you are doing give an accurate reflection of where we are in our standing with you. Today, we come in full repentance. We say we're sorry. We ask you to forgive us. Today is a brand new day, Lord Jesus. Today is a fresh start. Today is the day I'm done denying. Today is the day I quit being the Lone Ranger. Today is the day that I have moved myself off of the throne of my life. I've placed you on the throne of my life. And I know that from this point on, it's a process now of healing. But I give you my life. Take all of me. Take my mind. Take my emotions. Take body, soul, spirit, and make me afresh and anew. For your glory, for the increase of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, give him a shout of praise for what he's done. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for all of your prayer, support, your encouragement. It's good to be home. Ryan's got a couple of real quick things to say to you, and then you're dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Be seated.
Thank you, everybody, for coming today. Just keep in mind, remember, Wednesday is our deep end service. That's my absolute favorite deep end that we do all year. And next Sunday is our anniversary Sunday, where we are just going to unpack the vision and the direction of Living Water. So pray with me. God, I thank you so much, Lord. We give you all praise, all honor, all glory for the miracles that you do, for the lives that you change, and for the amazing things you have done in this building today. I pray, God, that we take this with us forward. We carry it on to those we do life with. God, I thank you and I praise you, for you are amazing, Lord. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good week, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.